We've got a special. We call it a quartet. Pastor and the son and Gracie, you guys are eating up my time. You got to come. Brother, what page are we on?
279.
We did not practice. We didn't practice, okay? So I don't know how the harmony is going to go. Bill, you want to come? 279. Anybody else is welcome, Yvonne? Brown sugar? You want to add some sweetness to it? Sister Carpenter? Listen, thank you for expressing God's love to us in a variety of different ways. That's how I can sum up all you've done for us. And boy, the way to top it off today, I told the pastor, I said, you know what? His potato salad was good, but it wasn't the best. The best potato salad belongs to Brown Sugar. And the reason, that's my wife. And the reason why is because Brown Sugar puts brown sugar in everything she cooks for me. In other words, she puts herself in it. Amen? Wasn't that good? Or was that corny? So, amen, brother. All right. Thank you for putting feet on charity. We will not forget. More importantly, God won't. I believe it's Hebrews 6:10 where it says that God is not unrighteous to forget your work, watch this, and labor of love. When you minister unto his saints, and continue, and you do minister. Thank you, Billy. I mean that, brother. Thank you, Pastor. Everybody, Thank you. We won't forget. I'll open in prayer, praying from God's book. I remember what Pastor taught once when I came here with Tom Stiles, and, you know, praying from the scriptures is praying in the spirit. He's the author. Amen. That's what we'll do tonight. Familiar prayer. Paul prayed for himself and the church. We might be filled. We might be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell or abide in our hearts by faith. That we might be rooted and grounded in his love. And be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. It's got to be his love that it's talking about. That we might know by experience the love of Christ which passes knowledge. As a result of being filled with all the fullness of God. So that God would do exceeding abundantly above all we are able to ask or think. Lord, that you would do that. In our lives, in our hearts. As a result of the Spirit that's already abiding in us. To all the glory and praise of God. That's my prayer. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If we stand for prayer once again, and Pastor, you'll break the silence. Don't pray too long, please, if I can say that, because I don't want to keep you here too long. So please, if you stand, please stand. And so you pray silently as God leads, and I come over here so Pastor can pray on that. Amen. So you pray, and Pastor, break the silence. Pray silently. Oh God, have mercy. Make your presence known and felt. Be with your children. Nobody. Confirm in me that this is what you want me to preach. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, it's been a joy to be here this week, and the preaching has been good, and we have been reminded of the important
Amen.
Truth of abiding in you.
That's right.
And so tonight, as I was thinking about this earlier today, and the Apostle Paul said to the church of Thessalonica, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you, and the Lord make us to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that you may establish our hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of the saints. And Lord, we commit this time to you, praying as Paul did for that church, for this church, for those that have assembled here. And Lord, I pray you would be glorified in it all. Jesus' name.
Amen. Dear Jesus, I hear you knocking at the door of my heart and the hearts of your people here. You're persistent. You always knock it. And I invite you, Lord, come on in. Cleanse us of all sin because you won't abide on our hearts on a sinful seat, creating this clean heart. Be seated at the throne of our heart. In Jesus' name. If I had time, I was going to have you do some calisthenics, and we won't do it. I was going to sing, and I really was. I was going to have the kids come up and help me sing, Father Abraham had many sons. But I said, no, they'll think about that song for the whole message. So don't do that. So, Father, I pray, be with us. Now, let me explain this chart once again. You got a Bible-sized chart. If you don't have one, please get one. Amen? And I'll remind me, I think the Lord will remind me, to explain to you why God has confirmed in my heart that I was preaching exactly what he wanted me to preach here. I want you to chew on that one, because I'm going to explain that, how he showed me. But Pastor had mentioned something yesterday. He said, you know, the chart stops from the bottom, and there's a reason for that, because Jesus is on the apex. Amen? And if we want to come to a place where we're going to abide together in Christ in a triangle relationship, then we have to start at the bottom. You, me over here, and you over here. And as we draw closer, take each step, we draw closer to the to the Lord. As we draw closer to the Lord, we draw closer to each other. Amen? And that will work. You know, whether it's a relationship between me and Yvonne, a relationship between me and Yvonne and our kids, church family. You know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, when I say that I'm your brother from another mother, I say that not jokingly, because God puts more of a premium on a spiritual family than he does a physical family. Amen. I am your brother, and I am from another mother. Amen. That's just not just corny. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And he wants us to abide as family. Amen. Moving right along. If you want to abide together in a Christ-centered relationship, you must take these steps of faith. Now, Monday we talked on and we preached on, you must seek him diligently. Step one, in his kingdom first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Step two, we talked about you need to seek him diligently in your heart, because he stands at the door of your heart. Amen. Last night, Tuesday, we talked about you must diligently seek him. Step three, in fellowship with him. We also talked about you must diligently seek him in his word, in his word. And I gave you an acronym in our brother Billy. What a blessing he's been to me. He's the one that prompted me to, you know, use more discipline behind the pulpit. And I thank him for that. I really, really do. You know, don't ever stop being teachable. You know, I'm over 20 years older than this brother is. I could have easily said, oh, man, get away from me. But I felt God speaking to me through him. And that's going to change. Yeah, there might be times where I might let Chocolate Thunder get out and just have a good old fit. But I want to please the pastor as well. And I got an inkling that he's not real fond of that kind of preaching. Amen. I mean, as long as it's with the Spirit, amen. And so, you know, I just want to let you know that. The point I was trying to make here is, as I was showing that acronym about, diligently seeking the Lord in the Word, he said, Pastor, maybe you need to look at that whole context again. You said that studying is more diligent seeking than meditating. He said, I beg the difference. Said, when you meditate on the Word, you're really chewing on it, and you're taking it to heart, even deeper sometimes than a study. Now, it's really hard to separate what it means to study and to meditate, because it can be synonymous, you know, from a definition standpoint. You're still studying the Word. But I understood where he was coming. And he also gave me some alliteration that I'm going to use. So thank you, Bill. Thank you very much. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about how you must seek him diligently. Step five on your chart. Step five, in prayer and fasting. Now, for the sake of time, we're going to read and reflect on a portion of Scripture. It's going to probably be my longest point right here. I'm telling you that ahead of time, because I don't want anybody to get nervous and say, he's got more steps to go, he's not going to make it, he's not going to make it. Pray about it. Amen. If we don't make it, I'll tape the message and I'll send it back to you. But anyhow, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And when you get there, say amen. By the way, Pastor, I got your Bible. Pastor, I got your Bible. Pastor, I got your Bible. I don't want anybody to look and see why we have similar Bibles and think that I stole your Bible. Bibles are similar. Okay. So let's read and reflect. Take heed that you do not your alms or your giving before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, thy giving, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy right hand know what thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Here's the point. In this portion of scripture, we see that God expects us to give. Amen? And I want you to carry that thought. He expects us to give. Can I get an amen? And how many of you know that, you know, one of the incentives for giving is you really can't outgive God when you give with a right heart. Amen? You really, really can't outgive him. And he's proven that to me over and over and over and over and over again. So why should we fear giving? And when we give, we ought to give with a kingdom mindset. He's talking about children of the king, so that we might store up riches in heaven where moth and rust did not corrupt. You know, you'll reap dividends. Amen? And God will make sure of that. The next point I want, and this, what's that got to do with passing? I want you to follow this. There's a pattern here. In verses 5 through 8, he says this, and when thou prayest, he expects us to pray. And not only does he expect us to pray, he wants us to pray in a certain way. Here we go. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrite. Don't pray hypocritically. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thy Father has shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition. That does not mean that you ought not to pray the same things over and over again. You know, there's a certain type of prayer that is an importunate prayer, where you might say the same words, but if they're coming from your heart. You know, one prayer that I pray for the body of Christ every day, and I pray this for you even today, is, Lord, that you would bless us and keep us, and cause the light of your face to shine upon us, that you would be gracious and merciful to us and allow us to experience your peace, and that you would lift up your countenance upon us and Lord, give us divine favor. Father, would you bless us spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, socially, and especially in our relationship with you. Help us to abide in. Now, that's a heartfelt prayer, man. I mean that. And I pray that every day. Lord, give us this day our daily bread, life and breath and health and strength and food. You see, glory, God sorts all that thing out. And then I'll pray, you know, importunately, Lord, you know the things that we have need of even before we ask. And you can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. That's a good prayer. That's repetitiously, but that's not vain repetition. Can I get an amen? Thank you. Out of the mouths of babes. Whew. And so as we look at this whole point and just look at another, you know, a little bit further as it relates to prayer, he expects you to pray. He also expects you to pray diligently. He says, look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every man that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You know, that's not saying that if you pray persistently, diligently, that you're going to get everything you ask for. Because we need to ask according to his will. We need to seek and knock persistently. Amen? And then God promises to answer according to his will. Can I get an amen? But he wants us to pray diligently. And then he tells us how to pray. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Once again, we can continue this thought. Look at the flow. He gives us a model prayer. And by the way, you know, we've tagged this, some of us, not me, because I'm, you know, they did this a long time ago. They call this the Lord's Prayer. Actually, this is a prayer that the Lord has given us, a model prayer. And he follows the pattern. Amen. But it's a pattern prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John chapter 17. Oh, by the way, there's no greater prayer than that. And the major thing that he prays in that prayer is an abiding relationship. Oneness. One, 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 one. Amen? And so he gives us a model. He tells us that he expects us to pray, then he tells us how to pray because the disciples ask us, show us how to pray, as Moses taught his disciples. And he said, pray like this. Pray in this manner. Now, don't pray this vain repetitiously. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth and as it is in heaven. You know, folks have told me that, you know, we can't pray this prayer. It's not meant for us to pray this because a praying for his kingdom to come is for the millennial reign. And I spiritualized a little bit and I said, beg your pardon. I pray for his spiritual kingdom to come. Amen. And, you know, his spiritual kingdom would come in the hearts of those who are lost. And that he would give his children a kingdom mindset. Amen? Are you with me? So anyhow, let's move on. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I need to tell you what's going on in my head right now. Chocolate Thunder said I should have sung that. Our Father, which art in heaven. But the Holy Spirit said, move on, so I'll do that. Amen. So let's do that. And so we see the model prayer. And then he goes on to say, verse 16, moreover, when ye fast, he expects us to fast. Be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. You know, don't walk around and say, oh man, I'm fasting. Can't you see? Ooh. You know, what kind of fast is it? That's a prideful fast. Improper fast. Amen? For they disfigure their faces. You see the disfigure? That ye may appear unto men to fast, but as I said to you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face. Fast in the power of the Spirit. Amen. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret. He sees your fast. And listen, he knows whether it's a proper fast or not, because he looks at your heart. You know, I won't take a whole lot of time to talk about this, but the greatest lesson, I believe, on fasting is not in the New Testament, it's in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 58. When the Lord talks about a proper fast, an improper fast, and the fast that he has chosen, and so on and so forth. Boy, I got a great message on that, and it's all alliteration, a lot of peace. And I won't talk about that tonight, but I got it on video. I'm going to put it on video, and I'll send you a copy if you want for $19.95. But anyhow... Because one of the points I'm going to make it now instead of later, I might repeat it, is this. Fasting needs to be taught. It really does. Because you can think that you're fasting, and man, I tell you what, you could be killing yourself. Literally. And there's no reason why folks ought not to know how to fast. You know, the Holy Spirit will teach us. And it's a great responsibility for the pastors to do that. Amen. And I say that respectfully. I'm not trying to, you know, throw your pastor under the bus. But I have a lot. I said last night, I meant this, and this morning, I could follow that brother. Last night I said this. Was it last night or the night before? I said, you know, he might be of small stature, but so was David. But ask Goliath how big a man he was. Amen? I could follow him. I watch him sometimes, man, and I tell you, this brother's a leader. The way he strolls around here, man, in peace, and, you know, he knows this thing belongs to God. I mean that, brother. I'm not brown-nosing. What's the point? When you fast, you need to be taught. Let me give you a few questions as it relates to fasting, and I'll move on. Who does he expect to fast? All of his children? Some form of fasting, not all the same way. Otherwise, everybody can't fast the same way. A diabetic can't fast the same way everybody else fasts. There's different types of fasting. We need to know what those types are. It's not just abstaining from food. Amen? What is fasting? I'm glad you asked. It's taking prayer to another level. It pictures you hungering and thirsting for God. Can I get an amen? Where should you fast? Geographically, anywhere, everywhere. Spiritually, in secret. And God will reward you openly. You know, you can go in the closet. You can be in the closet in the midst of a bunch of people. You understand what I'm saying? Spiritually speaking. When should you fast? When you're led of the Spirit. And he will let you know if you know how to listen to him. He'll let you know when you're led of the Spirit. He'll let you know when it's time. Why should you fast? Great principle of fasting is found over in, is it Matthew? Well, I won't give the text. You know where it is anyhow, and I won't take time to pull there. But, you know, when the disciples couldn't cast out the demons, and they came to the Lord and said, listen, how do we do that? And Jesus said, listen, this kind. Now, some think that he's talking about this just, the fasting is just for demonic activity. I believe he's saying this kind, he's talking about this circumstance. And in that context, he goes on to say, moving mountains. In other words, when you have certain situations and circumstances, mountainous situations and circumstances in your life, it's time to fast. It's time to take your prayer to another level. It could be sickness. Amen. It doesn't mean that God's going to always say yes to you because you fasted. It could be a financial need. But it's a move of faith. And, you know, fasting is a move of faith. And you know, and that's why I believe in that context. It said have faith in God in your fasting. It's a faith builder. It's letting go of that which is physical that you might attain that which is spiritual. You can fast for health, and sometimes we should, for cleansing, especially with all this poisons in your body. But you got to be careful with that, too. How do you fast? You must be a student. You must be taught. It's proper and improper fast. I taught it as a pastor, and I'm still teaching as an evangelist. My problem is this. I need to practice more. I preach more than I preach about it. This gives way. This is evidence. You know, this big girth here, this big belly. My goodness. You know, I suffer from chemical imbalances. Sometimes I have highs and lows. And sometimes part of the reason is that this thing, the gut, needs to be cleansed. Because that directs linkage to the brain. I don't want to get too deep with that. But many of you know what I'm talking about. I remember once a friend of mine, his wife, I said, you know what? I need a revival. And she looked at me and she said, Tony, you lose 60 pounds, you'll have your revival. Well, amen, brother. So anyhow, let's move on. These other points go a little bit quicker as God leads. Can I move on, folks? I know, Bill, you're worried. Step 5. Are we on step 5? We're step 6. You must diligently seek him in God's house. This will be a quick one. Hebrews chapter 10. When we turn there and we get there, say amen. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, there's a whole lot that is and could be said about this. For the sake of time, let's pick out this point that relates to what we're talking about. By the way, this is one of the greatest accountability verses in the Word of God. Brethren, hold each other accountable. We need to do that. Iron sharpens iron. Amen? As one of responsibility in Christianity, we need to hold each other accountable. So what is the point that we want to convey? You know, most often, this reference is used to relate to church attendance. And it does. It really does. But it also relates to our not forsaking the opportunity to fellowship with the brethren. Whether it's men's fellowship, women's fellowship, whether it's serving together, whether it's praying, etc., etc., etc. Don't forsake those opportunities. I mean, that's where bonding comes in. Amen? You know, the whole purpose of the church, the Lord established, is that we would help each other become like Jesus. It's a mutual sharing of the life of Christ with one another for the purpose of helping each other become like Christ. It's really discipleship. Now, it's very, very important. Now, a friend of mine, Tim, I said I was going to make this CD for him as well, and so he's listening to me, so I might as well confess. Tim, are you listening? Okay. Don't be a lone ranger as a Christian. The devil will wait for you to separate yourself from the flock, and he will give you fits. Now, I say that because when I get into some of my depressing states, you've seen my highs. You haven't seen my lows. I'll go lock myself up. And I'm in good company. Spurgeon was that way. David was that way. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying it happens. And it happens to some of you. And I'll go lock myself up and just want to be alone and not be bothered. Won't answer the phone. And my wife keeps saying, boy, pick up the phone. That's disrespectful. And she can't stand it. Man, she said, Tony, you're just so full of yourself. Leave me alone. You hear that, Tim? I hear him saying amen. He's a good friend of mine. He's always trying to encourage me for fellowship. You know, there's sometimes, man, I can't stay away from the brother. Other times, I just want to be left alone. It's at those times when we need each other most. And sometimes we just have to press through for fellowship. Whether we feel like it or not. There's times we need to come to church whether we feel like it or not. Not because, you know, to be seen of men alone, but because God said, I've designed a church to meet you there. He takes the church very, very serious. He loves the church. He died for the church. We need each other. That's all I'll say about that because I think you understand. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You're my brothers, you're my sisters. So take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking hand in hand. As long as there is love, we will stand. Step 7, follow those who do. In other words, follow those who diligently follow the Lord. Quickly, let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. And when you get there, say amen. How are we doing, folks? I'm not doing good finding that portion of scripture, that's for sure. Why is it that I go all over the Bible? That's why I need those tabs, brother. That's why you got to let me have that Bible. You know, brother, I went in that bookstore and I was looking for that Bible. I was going to buy it tonight. But if you don't give it to me, that's all right. I got a gift I'm going to send to you. I might keep it. That's not love, is it? I don't even want it now. But anyhow. Paul says this, brethren, be followers together of me. Did you abiding together? Amen. He says, and mark them which walk as ye have us as an example. For many walk in whom I have told you often and tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose end is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Don't follow them, what Paul is saying. What is he saying in essence? Paul has the audacity because he's confident. You know, he's abiding in Christ, and as a consequence, you know, he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Paul's way of preaching and teaching on abiding. You see, abiding is mentioned very different ways throughout Scripture by different people. A lot of people don't even understand or even use the word abiding, yet they understand what fellowship is all about. Paul knew it, you know, and he said, listen, basically, I'm abiding in Christ. And as a consequence, man, I die daily. As a consequence, I know I'm following the Lord, and you can see Christ in me. So follow me. And he said, by the way, and then mark those others who are following Christ. Look out among you and find those people that are following Christ, and you follow them. Follow them. I believe that brother follows Christ. I can follow him. I told him the other day, I see Christ in you sometimes. Sometimes I don't. Because he's still a work in progress. And he would say amen about me. And I won't pick on your pastor anymore, but I'll just say this. I can follow him. When I see him, I see Christ. I've marked him. And we need to do that. We need to mark our friends. You know, young people, you need to mark your friends. A lot of people are discouraged because they don't see Christ. And you know what? Young people will mark you. They are marking you. They're watching us all the time. And if they don't see Christ, they get discouraged. They leave the church if they start following other stuff. Now, they need to be held accountable on their own. Because if they've grown up in a Bible church, chances are they know better. Amen? Who's that babe? Praise the Lord. That's probably a preacher. Listen. If you don't mark that person or people who's following Christ, you're going to follow those whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And instead of them encouraging you to follow Christ, they're going to pull you down. Can I get an amen? Well, he's not just saying amen, is he? Follow him, I don't think so. Follow him in faithful service. Step 8. Look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. Once again, for the sake of time, we're just going to read and reflect. Matthew 25. Now, you know, I'll leave it up to your pastor to exegete this and slow down and break it down so you can chew on it and so on and so forth. I don't have time for that. I got to move on. You'll find that most evangelists preach topical messages, but we still ought to preach expositorily in context of Scripture. Amen. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. I know how to do it. I did it for years, 20-some-odd years in the church that I pastored. You saw the building. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Well, by the way, that church was in the heart of the inner city of Rochester. Avenue D, if you don't know, is Hell's Kitchen in Rochester. It's called Little New York. It's not as bad as it was when we first got there. I was preaching one day, and I saw our deacons wrestling with this old lady in the hall because I could look down the hall. And I said, what are they doing to that poor old lady? And when afterwards, one of the deacons said, Pastor, she had a knife and she wanted to cut you. I said, praise the Lord. I'm glad you got it away from her. Stuff like that. My wife and I saw a guy get shot out of my bathroom window, which she didn't see because she told me to get away from the window, and I wouldn't. I thought she said drop and roll. She said, no, that's for fires. It was my neighbor. Stuff like that. And I love that area. But anyhow. Point. Seek him in faithful service. Not here. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. And let's spiritualize this. We can be making mention of the spiritual kingdom, although I believe it's in strictly the physical kingdom here, who called his own servants and delivered them unto his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them, give an account. And he's going to want us to give account of what we've done with what he's given us. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more, approximately $1,920,000, according to my notes. I guess they're right. I don't know. I shouldn't quote that. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I can stop there because I want to make a point that's real key in this whole concept as it relates to seeking him diligently in faithful service. The talents pictures the things that God has given us. He's given us time, which is our greatest resource. Talents or gifts, you know, abilities, several abilities. And he's given us not only just spiritual gifts, but natural abilities as well. Amen? And he's given us treasures or moolah. Now, they're not ours. How many times have you said that, brother, and you? They belong to God. We're simply stewards. We're managers of God's resources. Now, God's requirement is that for a steward to be found faithful. Amen? He wants us to be, and we used to preach this years ago, he wants us to be fat. Faithful, available, teachable. Amen. Now, he wants us to invest our time, talents, and treasures into his kingdom. Why? To give us an opportunity to fellowship with him, to be a co-laborer with him. And if we do a good job with him, and I tell you what, I can't think of much of anything more that I'd rather hear from the Lord than to hear him say, well done, Tony. Now, some people think that he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You're going to wait to say that when you're in glory. Uh-uh. If you listen closely, when you serve the Lord well down here, you can hear him with a still small voice saying, son, you did good. Now, young kids, isn't it great when your parents come up to you and tell you, pat you on the head, pat you on the back, or sit you in your lap and say, sweetheart, young man, young lady, you did good. Instead of saying, you did bad. Isn't that good? You're supposed to say amen there. Isn't that good? You know, sometimes that's better than money. That's your reward. And the Father who seeth in secret will reward you openly. You see, when you seek him diligently in faithful service, you enter into the joyful fellowship with the Lord. Amen? Not just in the future, but today. Last step. Seek him diligently. And some of you might have been scratching your heads on this one. In the lives of the lost. Huh? Were you scratching your head, brother, or did you figure it out? You. Did you figure it out? Or you didn't go that far? I thought you studied this thing because you like to critique people. Bill, you know, I said I wasn't going to pick on you, but you got it coming, man. You're always picking on me. His wife said last night that we're like sibling rivals. He's always beating up on me. He's a little brother. You know how little brothers are? They're rebellious and, you know, they just won't behave themselves. And big brother's got to slap them beside the head. Oh, he doesn't trouble my wife at all. He's smart. I don't trouble her. I'm sorry? He calls her Ma. I've got a son, 2 years, two years younger than you. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. We'll make a point here and move on. Luke 19, 10. And when you get this, say amen. That's not the reference. 19:10? Oh, I'm just not looking there. Okay. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now here's the thought. If you're diligently seeking the Lord, you know where you're going to find him? Diligently seeking the unsaved. You know, he is the God of old, according to Psalm chapter 74, verse 14, I believe, or 12. He is a God of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. He draws us to himself by his Spirit. You know, while we run from God, he seeks us, he pursues us. And he's still in the business of pursuing folks today. You want to find where Jesus is? Look and see where he's working in the life of the lost people. Look on your job. Well, how will you know that Jesus is at work in their life? When people come to you and they ask you to pray, when people are watching you, they're looking for Jesus, man. You see, because, you know, people don't really even talk about the Lord unless they're prompted by the Spirit. So you can tell that the Spirit's at work there. Old Blackaby used to say, you know, look and find out. You remember that author, Blackaby? Look and find out where God is at work and come and join him. Look for ways that God is at work in your neighbor's heart. Boy, when a tragedy comes, you know, do they come and ask you to pray for them? And that's just one example of many. Do you see a tragedy in their life where they might need prayer? God is very much at work in their lives. God will allow anything, perhaps, to a death in their family to encourage someone else to come to know Christ. You know, the scary thought is this, is that, you know, if God is pursuing you, please get this, young people, get this. If God is pursuing you, trying to encourage you to come to him, and you're saying, and this is older folks too, and you've continued to refuse him, know this, that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. In other words, God may stop. If he ever stops pursuing you, it could be too late because God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. He would just reject you altogether. He said, God wouldn't do that. Now, why would he say then at the judgment seat when people, those who think that they're saved, I mean the judgment on judgment day, those who think that they're saved, he's going to tell them, and they're not, he's going to tell them, depart from me, I never knew you. Here's the thing, folks. And we'll be done. As we look at this last point. Lord, help me to finish this off. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The closer you abide in Christ, God will draw men unto himself through you. The closer you are to Christ, the closer you're going to feel his heartbeat for souls. The closer you are to Christ, the more you're going to care for the lost people, man. You'll weep for them. You want to know how to get a burden for souls? Listen, you don't get a burden just by being obedient, but it can start there because that's a step of faith. It comes by abiding in him until he gives you his heartbeat for souls. I know what that's like because I've experienced that, but not enough. Why don't people, you know, go sowing and like they should? Oh, too hard work if you do it in the flesh. But if you're abiding, it makes a difference. If you're lost, Jesus is pursuing you, perhaps, unless he's given up on you. No one cares for your soul like Jesus does. He cares for you. He doesn't want you to die and go to hell. People go to hell because they won't receive Christ. He cares about you so much that he wants you to become part of his family. He wants to fellowship with you. Please, surrender. Just trust him. Give him your heart. Give him your life. And ask him to help you to follow him. Surrender. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confess him as being Lord. Allow him to be Lord. Give him control of your life. Surrender. Turn to him. Turn away from yourself. Because if he's not your God, then yourself is. I don't know how grammatical correct that is. That wasn't good English. But you understand. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Call upon him like those of us who are saved did. Now, in conclusion, here's a confirmation I wanted to share with you about knowing that I'm preaching on the messages that God wants me to preach. Your pastor showed me today a series of messages he just preached on abiding. He preached it again. I've preached it. You've preached it, brother. You say, well, it's over and it's repetition. We learn by repetition. And God, I'm sure he allowed you to preach it differently than I did. Now, in a different way, different ways, amen? Now, in my office of an evangelist, my ministry is to come alongside and to help your pastor perfect the saints. To motivate, challenge, and encourage you. And God has given me an opportunity. I took it a step further. He talked about what it means. I'm sharing with you how. He that hath ears to hear, let not your heart be hardened. He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to this church. He wants us to have a closer walk. He wants our lives characterized by abiding. Please pay attention. God is speaking. He wants to revive you. I didn't tell you this, but I was so depressed for 2 months. And Pastor, you can come. For 2 months, I had one of my low spells. I almost called. When I called Billy, I was thinking about calling and say, I can't make it. Could you get somebody else? And Lord said, no. I've got a little reviving. A pastor, I was obedient. I want to do an invitation. I want to lead it. It's going to take a few minutes, but I won't belabor it. Okay? Thank you, sir. Thanks for the liberty. And this is what I'd like to do, folks, as God leads. I would like to encourage you to come to the altar. Now, I had something prepared, if I can. Oh, here it is, right here. I want to talk about, before I even ask you to come, I want to talk about the altar and answer a few questions that you might have. Who needs the altar? Everyone does. Who needs an altar? An altar. What is an altar? A place to meet God. When should you come to the altar? When you're led of the Spirit. Don't quench him. I see a lot of Christians quenching the altar call, or quenching the Spirit. Folks, don't do that today. Where is the altar? Physically speaking, it's here. Spiritually speaking, it's in your heart. We ought to have a place where we meet God. It can be in your pew. It really can be. Why come to the altar? Let me give you a specific read. I want to pray for you. I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to pray for others. I want you to pray for the lost. I would that the lost might get saved or ask for assurance of salvation. I I want you to pray for me. That's to pray together. Folks, to pray and receive Christ. How should you come? Come humbly. God resists the proud, give grace to the humble. Would you come? Even now, as God leads. And listen, if you don't come, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I spoke to somebody, and I won't tell you what. I said, you know what? I know how you feel about coming to the altar. I'm not going to be judgmental or anything, but I'm going to ask you to come. You can stay there or you can come, but please, would you stand? Would you come? Would you come? So we can finish our business here today. As God leads, would you come? I'd like to pray. I'd like for you to pray first as God leads. And maybe just take a few minutes. And would you please, and if you don't come, would you please commit to praying where you are? But see, being sincere in your prayer. Pray for whatever God lay upon their hearts, whatever you want them to pray by your Spirit. As the music plays. And if you feel led to come, please come.